So we, like my colleagues, are interested in measuring the impact of what we're doing, but we see that some of the larger impacts of this work aren't so easy to measure. If you're building democracy, this is hard, ongoing work, but it begins with economic opportunity. The foundation's mission really has been a work in progress to some extent, but in developing that mission, I want to tell you that it wasn't just a dialogue between Jeff and Sally. It's been a conversation with our whole team and with outsiders. We basically surveyed a number of people in the field of philanthropy, in business, and so on, about the Skoll Foundation, Jeff, the opportunities in front of us, and what they thought about philanthropy. And one very interesting comment came back, which was, in effect, the gauntlet to the Skoll Foundation, from Bill Drayton, who many of you know is the founder of Ashoka, and whom David Bornstein has called the spider at the center of the web of social entrepreneurship. And Bill said, in a classic Bill statement, that what a social entrepreneur needs and what a foundation provides is almost a perfect mismatch. And what he saw were the patterns in foundation grant making, the long lead times, the small numbers of grants, the short time horizons, the numerous hoops and hurdles that applicants have to jump through to get funding. He saw all of that as a systemic challenge. And those are some of the challenges the Skoll Foundation has taken on with its tripartite Invest, Connect, Celebrate strategy and with its commitment to reach out to its constituents, to its audiences, to its partners in everything we do. Our structure and culture. We are organized really around that tripart strategy, the Invest, Connect, Celebrate. Invest is our grant-making department, essentially, and there are three buckets in there. We believe we have to be citizens in our own backyard. We have a great commitment to this community and a belief that Silicon Valley, which has been the crucible of technological innovation, can also be an exemplar for social change and social innovation. So we have a Skoll Awards for Innovation in Silicon Valley program. We also have a commitment to building the capacity of the sector as a whole. So we have our Skoll Social Sector Capacity Investments program. And then we have the signature program for the foundation, which are our Skoll Awards for Social Entrepreneurship. These are global in nature, and there we're trying to identify order of magnitude social change agents with a significant track record whom we can empower and entrust and partner to affect that change we all hope to see in the world. The structure of the foundation is really infused with a very powerful culture. And the elements of that culture are fundamentally aligned with the social entrepreneur and the social entrepreneur's profile. So we are an entrepreneurial culture. We believe that our responsibility is to cultivate innovation and to inspire hope. We are systemic in our approach. We're not looking to treat the symptom. We're trying to get at the root causes. And we believe that empowerment in mobilizing resources and assets that haven't been tapped by others is the source to bring whole communities to bear on large, complex problems. We look at capacity. We're interested in leadership, and we're interested in teams and whole communities. And so capacity is extremely important to the foundation as to the organizations with which we're working. And finally, integrity. We're looking for folks whom we trust and who can trust us in return. Because in the end, we're really in this sector. Trust is the grease that keeps this flywheel of social change turning. And we build trust, we nurture trust, we believe that trust is a very powerful asset, difficult to quantify, but an extraordinary asset that that we have in spades in this sector, and we need to cherish and value that trust. I'll just close with a small story about Jeff's and my early time of working together. Shortly after I came on board, and shortly before John Gardner died, Jeff and I met with John. And you know, John is this giant really was an international treasure for the social sector, for social change, for public accountability, for excellence, for leadership, you name it. John was at the center of it. Also, president of the Carnegie Foundation during one of the real phenomenal periods of that foundation's continued ability to innovate. And we asked John what he recommended to us as these newbies in the field of philanthropy. And John said, find the people. Find the people with the passion burning inside. Those are the leverage for social change. Those are the people that will carry the torch of the work you're here to do. Find the people. So at the Skoll Foundation, those people are the people we work with. They're our community and our people too. They're Jeff with his spirit and his dedication, and that they're our partners around the world.
And what's the size of the endowment of the, what will the size of the assets be?
The asset, it's very different from the way that Lou described the Moore Foundation as having been created. Jeff seeded the foundation initially in 99 with a gift of eBay stock that was about $10 million. And today the collective assets of both foundations are approaching $400 million. So it's really been given us the chance to learn and to grow and to try and to risk and to reach out as we've been developing. So it's been a great privilege to be able to evolve in this way, and a real indication, I think, of Jeff's strategic orientation. It's about learning and development and the journey.
And he's 39, you said?
He's 39.
And how old is, how old are Gordon and Betty?
Gordon's 75. Betty's age is a state secret.
So, Iqbal.
So just in case everybody's curious, Pierre is 36. So talk about work in progress or transition, as you've been hearing the stories. Quite a lot has changed at what was the Omidyar Foundation, even since these brochures that have been printed and they have been distributed to all of you. For instance, all the way back in March 2004, we were the Omidyar Foundation. But as you could, some of you now know, that in March we announced a new organization, the Omidyar Network. This is the first time that we have an opportunity to address this to all of you. I'm grateful for the opportunity to put the announcement that we made in March into context. We do share a common bond of being founded by successful entrepreneurs, living donors, and big risk takers to have $1 billion out there in a couple of years. Big risk. And the big bets that you can see Skoll Foundation taking. And we are further connected by this entrepreneurial spirit. And as Sally described, the spirit that resides even in the operations of how they do their work. And clearly, when you bet $1 billion, you bet that's entrepreneurial. And that's the spirit we apply as we think about our work in social change. So each one of us is approaching that in our own way. So moving on to the Omidyar Network. So what is the Omidyar Network? The network expands our social change efforts from investing solely in the nonprofit sector to a sector agnostic approach. I'll explain that in a moment. So my focus tonight will be entirely on explaining their thinking and why we feel it's an appropriate entrepreneurial strategy for social change. For us, we are not suggesting this is the right approach for everyone. This is only one way of many different approaches, and you've heard a few today already. Because we are so early in our development, there are a few specifics to share. We are literally, officially, being given birth to June 1. That means that I won't be discussing operational details like grant making and investing or projects and initiatives. So I want to establish that up front because we don't have those details. So speaking of being clear, if you only remember two things tonight about the Omidyar Network, I hope they are these. One, the Omidyar Network is an expansion of Pam and Pierre Omidyar's social change efforts, a sector agnostic approach, which means we will invest in nonprofits, plus we will invest in the private sector, plus we will invest in the public sector. That's an additive approach to our strategy. There's relevance in how we came to this conclusion, so I'd like to share that with you. In 1998, when eBay was so successful with the geniuses of Jeff Skoll and Pierre Omidyar and dozens of other people, Pam and Pierre did what most people in their position do when they want to make a difference in the world. They established a private foundation. Realizing they were new to the field of philanthropy, they invested in a range of nonprofits specifically to learn which approaches would be most effective for them. As their philanthropic journey progressed, something was happening at the same time. The social value inherent in the for-profit business models of eBay and Meetup was becoming apparent. For those of you who aren't familiar with Meetup, it's a website enabling people to find common ground through common interests and then connect them to meet in person at local establishments rather than only meeting online. So even within the for-profit realm, eBay and Meetup are clearly change agents. Pam and Pierre found themselves asking, why ignore any change just because it might not fit a traditional model of social change? Finding common ground where none seemed to exist before is the very heart of connecting. We feel that getting people to connect in an important aspect of social change is core to our work. To put eBay and Meetup into perspective as change agents, hundreds of thousands of members at eBay make their living entirely on eBay and enjoy the freedom of owning their own business for the first time. More than 100 million people trust strangers with every transaction they make on eBay. At both eBay and Meetup, strangers often turn into friends, or at least don't seem as different once they connect through a shared interest. Again, we asked ourselves, why ignore any change agent? Does social change only happen in one community, in one sector? No, that's pretty obvious when you hear also what Lou and Sally had to say. All people live, work, play, and learn in a world that touches many different communities, even within a single day. Creating change requires people organizations, and communities working together everywhere. We believe change is only sustainable when people involved, participants, become, in an emergent and gradual manner, masters of the process of change. Or to say it another way, we believe in a bottom-up approach. In our view, not knowing all the answers is okay. No one organization or person does. Second, focusing on process rather than setting our sights on a predefined outcome is also okay. In fact, it's not only okay, but we think both of these approaches are actually critical to a collaborative and emergent model. To be very extra clear, collaboration and emergent thinking are very important to us. In our view, there are many ways to approach social change. There are many diverse needs. We believe it takes many different people working together to make it happen. Thank you again.
So we've got to find the outcome, got a clear outcome, and we've got focus on the people, and we've got focus on the process. So three very different strategies. Iqbal, can you say what you mean by social change?
Well, there are many different ways to think about social change. And you know, one of the things that I've said in my comments is that we believe in a bottom-up, emergent, process-oriented model. And so when we think about social change, we really want to encourage the positive evolution of society towards a more just and hopeful future. So it is our intention to find ways to encourage the course of social change, contribute to fueling that process from a bottom-up approach